So you can grab your Bibles. We got a little just a devotional Bible study I thought would be great. When Pastor Dave and I were talking tomorrow, I was like, perfect. I'll do something called Surviving the Storm. And so that's a great one for today, right? Surviving the Storm. And I was thinking through storms I've been in. And so Alaska did not see a lot of storms. I mean, we had windstorms. I remember a couple windstorms, lightning and thunder, nothing like that. Earthquakes. We had earthquakes, which I've been in a good number of those in my life. None of the big ones that like totally like demolished things, but one of my favorites was I was on the phone with my mom, and she was across town, and she's like, hey, there's an earthquake. And then it was like a few seconds later, I began to feel it. And I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. It's like traveling across town. And I remember one time our cat, I was watching television, and our cat all of a sudden started freaking out. I mean, it was like darting all over the place. And I'm like, what in the world is with you? And then the TV starts to shake, and the whole building starts to shake. It's like, oh, okay, that's what's wrong with you. So not the storms. I did not have a lot. Like I said, we had wind storms. It get cold every year, but it's Alaska. It's supposed to get cold, right? Like, you know, 20, 30 below, you just, it's what it does. So I remember being, driving through the Midwest somewhere with my dad in high school, and we got this weather alert about a tornado, and there was a piece in me, I was like, do we get to see a tornado? How cool is that? And so we didn't see it, but the sky was frightening looking. And have any of you been in a tornado before? Like anybody? You've been in a tornado? Okay. Did you see it or?
I didn't see it, but it was like, it was years and years ago.
Okay.
It was very windy and it was raining and everyone was panicking and they were running everywhere. I lost
that. That's frightening. That's like, I talked to a guy. We did a missions trip to the Midwest somewhere, and I was talking to a guy and asked him about tornadoes, and he's like, oh yeah. He said it sounded like a train was coming through my house. He said it was crazy. I was in the house, and the wind and everything was so loud, intense. Hurricane? Any of y'all like?
Any? Almost tornado.
You were almost in a hurricane?
Almost tornado.
Oh, almost. Oh, okay.
My parents used to have a cottage on the Allegheny River in Pennsylvania. We were all playing down by the river, and then the sky, like, everything got really quiet. Like, all the birds stopped.
Oh my goodness.
And then the sky turned like this really pukey yellow color. And my mom said, everybody run! And then like, it ended up being like a microburst or whatever.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And it was kind of really scary, like right before it happened. It was just like a bad wind.
Yeah, weather can be. Did you want to over here? You been in a hurricane? Oh my goodness! So it's a little, oh, it's nothing. We just.
It really was nothing until Hurricane Andrew. Then all of a sudden it was something. You know, because they were for years they would pump up these hurricanes and everyone would board up their houses and you know buy supplies and then Category 2 or 3. But I mean, it's still bad, but it was really nothing in comparison. And then when Hurricane Andrew came in, everyone's like, oh, it's not going to be anything. I was actually on vacation in Michigan when it happened, and
oh my goodness. Well, that's a. That's it. Weather is. Well, that's a being here with the wind. That's been a new experience for us. The intense blowing wind is like you know, we can hear it in the house and just everything rattles and creaks and you're like, okay, is the house gonna fall down? Is this like, because weather is frightful. You know, I mean, like, and it's weather and things like earthquakes and all that stuff because, well, we don't have a lot of control over it, right? I mean, there's nothing you can really do. Have you noticed, like, I thought it was interesting. We had a small tremor when I was living in Seattle at school, and I was in a room with a bunch of students, And we were having this discussion, and all of a sudden the room starts shaking, and everybody in the room was rushing to stand in the door jam. Because if you don't know, an earthquake, that's like a secure place. You're supposed to go stand in a door jam or underneath something heavy and secure and whatever you can. And everybody did that except the two of us who were actually from Alaska. Because we're like, oh, hey, this is cool. Like, you know, there was like two of us sitting there, and we're like, hey, I haven't been in one of these in a while. And everybody who had never been, because none of the other students had ever been in one before. And so they were like, I mean, the look of sheer panic, which it was just a tiny little tremor. It was just like, and it was done. But it's interesting. What do you do in a storm, in an emergency situation? We kind of like default to our emergency settings. Like all of a sudden the storm starts to happen. You're like, what am I supposed to do? The one time I was like thinking through this, I was like, is there a time I did that? And I remember when I was in college, but I was back home, and middle of the night, all of a sudden I wake up and I'm like, why am I awake? And the mirror right above my bed starts banging against the wall. And I was like, okay. And I was in the door jam before I even realized I was in the, I was out of bed, and my sister was right across from me and her standing in her door jam, because it was a pretty good one. It was loud and it was the middle of the night, and we're like, okay. And we were in the bottom story of a 3-story house. So we're like, okay, is this going to, you know, we're going to lose the house tonight? But we didn't. It's just, we're okay. So if you were wondering. But I was thinking through this. I was like, okay, you know, there are storms in life that, like, physical storms. There are financial storms. There are relationship storms, things that happen. The finances are a stressful thing in anybody's life. I can remember Levita and I, when we first got married. So I did not grow up talking about finances a lot with my family. I didn't, like, have a lot of, I know they dealt with stuff, but not my experience. And conflict was not a thing I was super comfortable with. I mean, how many of you are, like, comfortable with conflict? You, like, dive right into it. Anybody? So a few of you are like, yeah, let's do it. Let's dive right in. Not my strong suit. So I noticed, right, fairly shortly after we got married, that money stressed my wife out. At least in my perception, it stressed her out. I learned later that it's just because she likes to have things in order and likes to do the books, and she likes everything to be perfect. To me, it was just a stressful situation to her. And as a good husband, I was doing everything I could to help her avoid stressful situations. So I would hide the bills, because I assumed that doing the bills stressed her out. And we'd get them, and I'd think, oh, you know, she's had a bad day at work. She doesn't need to see this today. But then I'd forget to give them to her later, because she was paying all the bills and doing the books, and then we'd have late fees and things like that, because I'd forget to give them to her that we'd gotten the bills in the mail. And so that caused some storms in our marriage, until I realized, oh, it's not like she's stressing money, it's that she just wants to know where it all is and where it all goes and is trying to get it all organized. And so, you know, there is many times we experience storms and we do the thing that'll bring us the quickest safety, right? I mean, you think of a little one when she gets hurt, what's the first thing she does? Cry and run to you. You know, I mean, like, we do that. We go to our default settings. We go to the things that we think will bring us safety or comfort. And so in Psalm chapter 46, I wanted to look at that psalm this morning for a few minutes here. This is a psalm, I read it. It was described as a psalm of radical trust in the face of overwhelming threat. A psalm of radical trust in the face of overwhelming threat. And so Psalm chapter 46, and Kendra's going to put it up there. We're going to read through it and then just spend a few minutes talking through it. But starts like, you got it for me, Kendra? There we go. Psalm chapter 46 starts like this. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. This is not working for me here. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." And so, like I said, this is a psalm of radical trust in the face of overwhelming threat. It's so good. So this psalm starts out here. Kendra, you can put the first, you can just leave the verses up there as I do them. So you leave the first section up there. So it starts off here, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. So this section here, starting off here, this is the psalmist is writing. This is not, I mean, this sounds like a storm, right? We've got a storm here. What's really interesting is this is, if you read the Genesis account, well, you read, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all that. And as he's creating, he's doing a couple of things. It says he separates the waters above from the waters below, and he brings dry ground, gathers the waters together and brings dry ground. So the ancient view of creation was there's waters above, that's where the rain comes from. And there's actually waters below, because if you dig down into the earth deep enough, what do you get? Water. And so they actually believed that the dry ground, you know, there's waters below, above, waters below. And so what this verse is saying here is, he's like, you know, God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. And he's saying, basically, if the entirety of creation is destroyed, because this is like a total decreation psalm here. He's like, you know, even if the mountains fall into the sea, if it all goes back to, because they viewed the sea, everything was like chaos and there was a lot of fear surrounding the sea. So even if all of creation is undone, we don't need to fear because God is our refuge and strength. And so as the psalmist starts out here, he's like, I want you to hear something here. I want you to know that God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help. And I love it. This ever-present help is this word help here. The root of this word is the same word that's used when God looks at in the garden and he sees the man there and he's like, you know, he creates Eve, a help for him. Someone who to come alongside and, you know, as a help to work with, as a partner. And here the psalmist is like, you know what God is? God is our ever-present help. It's the exact same word here, an ever-present help in times of trouble. He is our refuge, our strength. And, you know, I got to tell you, so like just reading that piece. I mean, this is a very famous psalm. Lots of songs have been written about it. But just reading that piece, I'm like, you know, I begin to like reflect. I was like, okay, so in the midst of the worst possible situation, who is God? In the midst of total chaos, whatever, who is God? He's ever present. He is our help in times of trouble. He is our refuge and strength. And the psalmist goes on here, if you move to verse 4, Kendra. It says, there is a river. So this whole, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. And so this brings back, so if you got like, you know, their whole creation thing in Genesis chapter 2, it begins to talk about this river that waters the land and goes out. And so this is like the same, this whole idea of rivers bringing life is used a lot in the Psalms. It's used a lot in Hebrew scripture. And this idea of God, the city of God, this place where God, the Most High, is dwelling. You know, God is with her. He's bringing peace. It's a place where you can find peace in the midst of chaos, in the midst of utter destruction. You know, God is with her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. You know, nations, in the beginning, it was the mountains that are falling and the mountains that are roaring and the seas that are roaring, and now it's the nations are in uproar. Kingdoms are falling. And God is lifting his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So what's really cool, one of the things that's really cool about this psalm, is up until this point, you could have been an Egyptian, you could have been a Canaanite, you could have been an Assyrian back in the ancient world, and you could have been reading this, and it's a pretty generic song, you know, that God, they're using a very generic name for God. You know, just God is my refuge. God is my strength. And they could have all been like, yep, I get that. And then all of a sudden, the psalmist here turns at verse 7, and he says, the Lord, and it's translated here, the Lord Almighty is with us. And in our Bibles, you know, you'll see all in, our autocorrect on the computer corrected it, but that's supposed to be all caps, Lord. And it's actually the covenant name of God. It's like the Lord Almighty, the Lord of, you know, some translations will say the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, you know, the Lord Almighty is with us. You know, the God of Jacob is our fortress. And so he's like, it's not just anything out there that is our refuge and strength. It is very specifically, very poignantly the Lord Almighty who is with us. He is our fortress. He is our strength. In the midst of uncreation, we do not need to fear because he is with us. He brings us peace. We can go to him, to his, as the psalmist here, go to his city because God will not fall. The city will not fall because God is with and within it. And moving along here, verses 8. Says, come and see. So the psalmist is like, okay, come and see. You know, is it the nation, the people, everyone? Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolations he has brought on the earth. And I know for us, sometimes we're like, okay, wait a second, God's destroying everything. You know, this is like, so the psalmist here, there's a lot of like, you know, speculation. They believe that the psalm was probably written either during the time of the Assyrians invading the nations or some other war, because there seems to be a lot of war themes within the psalm, and it's like, okay, there's some war going on here. And their view was, if your God was winning, or if you were winning, that means your God was stronger, and if you lost, your God was not. And this is one of the great things about the people of Israel, because they're like, even though we've lost, that's our fault we've lost. It's not God's fault we've lost. He is still with us, you know? And God allowed the nations to take us over because he is God alone and we have turned from him. And so, you know, so they're like, come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. You know, he makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He's like, you know, it is the Lord who we can trust. It is the Lord who makes these things stop, who brings peace. Despite decreation, despite chaos, despite war, despite all of that stuff, we can look to God, and he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob, our fortress. And so this whole, be still and know that I am God. I love it because this is like, imagine a couple kids and they're going at it. And you're a parent. And what do you do? What do you say to them? Stop it! Have you been told that before? Stop! What are you doing? Knock it off. Enough. And, you know, the psalmist is like, you know, they said this whole be still is not just, it's the words, not just a, you know, just be still, you know, like, but it's like a stop. go into like not lethargic, but kind of. It's like you gotta just stop what you're doing. And so it's not just being quiet. It's an actual like stop, be still, and know that I am God. You know, I love it. The psalmist here is like, okay, God is. Here's what God is saying to us. Be still and know that I am God. So you think about all the things in this psalm. We've had the mountains falling into the heart of the sea, the seas roaring, nations warring, all this stuff's going on. And when all this stuff's going on, what do we do? What do? When everything is out of order and chaotic. We freak out. What? We try to fix. Yeah, no kid. We do. We try to fix it. We try to take control and bring order to the chaos. You know, right now we're doing our best we can with the snow outside. You know, they're plowing. They're doing their best they can to bring order to the chaos. They are piling it up and. Oh, yeah, we try our best to bring order to situations when we really don't have control. And the psalmist is like, hey, stop trying to be God and know, God's like, stop trying to be God and know that I am God. I will be exalted among nations. I will be exalted among the earth. Recognizing, hey, we need to stop trying to be God and allow God to be God. And he kind of ends it again with, you know, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob, he is our fortress. I think this is so, you know, I had a couple of thoughts just as reflecting on this psalm. The first thing we need to do, in a storm is recognizing it for what it is, Earthquake, we run to the door frames. You know, if the room started shaking right now, that would be my go-to. It's like, all right, door frames. Actually, this building, the exit's right there. I'd be out the door. I said, bye, y'all. Tornado, when we heard about a tornado in this area, we're like, are we supposed to go under the house or something? I mean, like, it's there, it's not comfortable, and it's kind of wet. But I guess if we have to. You know, we recognize things for what they are, and we try our best to solve the situation. You know, our finances are in disarray, our children are in disarray, our lives feel chaotic. We do everything we can to grasp it. And it is okay to recognize, hey, I got a mess in front of me that needs to be dealt with. That is an okay thing to do. You know, recognize the storm for what it is. But then I think, from that, and go to the secure location. The psalmist is like, hey, God is our refuge and our fortress, our ever-present refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. You know, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Go to the one. This is the thing where I said earlier, we do what is in our default settings. When it's an emergency, when we're in panic, we go to our default settings. I've been reading this book called, it's a study in trauma, looking at the story of Job in the Old Testament. And it's a very fascinating read because I've never studied anything having to do with trauma before. And it was talking about how trauma is a response, an automatic response, an often uncontrolled response, where something's happened in your life, and you have a traumatic response to it. Your brain doesn't know how to make sense of it, and so it often attaches it to something that doesn't necessarily cause you harm. Thus, we get some people, they might have an overwhelming fear of something that shouldn't bring them fear, whether it's a dog, a cat, heights, something. Something is bringing them extreme fear, and they don't entirely know why. Their brain is just like, you're in danger. And I think, often we do this, maybe not always in such an exaggerated panic attack sort of way, But when things start to get out of control, we begin to draw into ourselves and like just try to survive it. And instead of running to the one, you know, the psalmist is like, hey, go to your refuge and strength, your fortress. That's where the safety is. You know, recognize the storm for what it is. Go to the secure location. And then be still. And know that He is God. Recognize, you know, as we are not God. I hope that's not a total, like, you know, you're not God. You're great people, but, you know, great people, but we're not God. And you know, but being still and knowing that He is God, it's like, hey, stop. Allow God to be who He is in our lives. And, you know, I love Jesus is in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. He's teaching the Sermon on the Mount. And at one of the points, he talks about worrying. He says, don't worry. You know, don't worry about tomorrow. You know, look at the birds of the air. Look at the sparrow. You know, they don't worry. And God takes care of them. And it's interesting because he strips it down to where we have nothing. He's like, you know, so don't worry about what you eat, drink, or what you wear. I'm like, okay, well, that's pretty much the most important stuff, what we eat, drink, and wear. Maybe have walls, but, and Jesus is like, don't worry about that. And I think this is such a huge thing for us because we are so naturally control freaks and worriers. Amen? Amen. You know, we are. And we like to control it all and like to do it our way. And, you know, God is saying, hey, be still. Know that I am God. I have got this. As Jesus said, don't worry. And we sing about it this morning, you know, trust in God. Allow Him to be who He is. And recognize what your default setting is. I think it's really good to, you know, like at times to say, okay, why am I freaking out in this moment? What do I need to surrender to God? What do I need to recognize is going on right now? And I need to stop. And I think, you know, with this, and, you know, the psalmist is, you know, really talking here about just, hey, stop trying to be God. Be still. I'm God. But I think for all of us, a good thing because, you know, where the psalmist didn't, they didn't have the busyness of this business in their lives or computers and all that stuff all the time. I think a really good thing for all of us, and this would be like a personal challenge for you this week, is take some time to be still. You know, shut off the podcast, the music. You know, if you drive, if you've got a lot of driving to do, shut it all off and just be still. If you're like the one who has time to go take a walk without anything. You know, take some time to shut everything off. I have been having conversations with some of my kids, and, you know, when they were younger, they'd come and say, we're bored. And I'd say, only boring people are bored. And let me give you some work to do. But I have found, now that they're getting older, I've been finding myself telling them and telling myself, it's okay to be bored. In fact, it's good for you to be bored. Because it gives you, yes, I'm giving you permission, kids, be bored. It gives your brains time to start working through, and things that start to come up in those quiet moments, there's a great opportunity for God to start working through some things in our hearts and lives. And so taking some time to just be still in the chaos and find the peace that comes with being still and allowing God to be God. And so just, we got a small group today. So any thoughts on this? Any, like, you know, reflection pieces that might be helpful and beneficial to everyone else? I'll take a sip of coffee. Oh, and Pastor Adam's telling me if you wanted to text in or something, thoughts and comments, I'll try my best to read it. But yeah, any thoughts or comments or... No? All right. Just I would strongly encourage taking some time this week and being still. Even the snow is a great thing to be still in because it's a natural sound absorber. And so just even in the bundle up and go stand outside in the snow and just listen to the sound of silence. And it can be a beautiful thing. Bundle up really warm. And, you know, don't freeze, but enjoy the peace that God brings us in the midst of the chaotic world. And because he is our refuge and our fortress that we can trust in. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the refuge and strength and peace that you bring. Lord, we thank you so much that we can trust in you, we can hope in you. And Father, I just pray for those this morning that may be dealing with some chaos in their lives. That maybe there's some storms that are brewing, that they are just overwhelmed and they don't know what to do. And Father, I just pray that you would give them the peace that they need. We pray that you would refresh them, remind them that you are God, that your Spirit would just rest upon them. And Lord, for just families, that they would know that you are God, that they would be still in your presence, that we would all would just pause and recognize who you are. We thank you so much for your presence with us, that we can trust in you, we can look to you and call out to you, and you hear us. And pray that in this week that you would give us moments of clarification and wisdom to help us know you more. We thank you so much for your love. And just pray that in all that we do and say, we would bring recognition to your name alone. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Well, hey, enjoy the snow. Go for a walk in the snow. Enjoy that. Don't shake your head. No. It's beautiful out there. Enjoy the snow. Enjoy the weather. And just as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. Go in his strength and his might, and go make a snow angel or something. I don't know. Have a great week. We'll see you later.